Hello there, people with impeccable taste. Welcome to the 11th episode of Secret Moonbase. I am your incredibly rigid host and sunburned meatbag, Corduroy Turtle. I am joined by virtual Fight Club promoter and green pepper hater, Newtaff.
Hey, everybody.
And, of course, also joining us is everyone's favorite JonBenet cosplayer and winner of Louisiana's Best Beard Award from 2007 through 2009, Occam's Electric Toothbrush.
Howdy.
Wait, who ousted him?
He just gave up. You know, he won 3 years in a row, and he just said, "You know, I'm walking away. I'm gonna let Earl win this year."
Yeah, Earl.
We're gonna let B-Bane win. Man, did you see that guy's picture?
Yeah,
he's got a nice beard.
It's a nice
beard. Eyes. Yeah, seems like a good guy.
I'm actually about 2 weeks into a beard right now. I'm starting.
No
one up.
Shit.
Yep.
Oh man, to quote a 12-year-old girl, "Pics, please."
I'll let it fill in a little bit. I don't have. I imagine when you shave, Occam, like 3 days later, you've got like a nice, solid, you know, covering. Man, I have to.
Three hours later.
Like 3 weeks. I got to build it up until it actually fills in all the holes and looks decent. So I still kind of look like a
hobo.
Well, there's different phases I go through. There's like a renegade cop, you know. there's hobo.
Yeah.
And then eventually, if I don't keep it trimmed and I just kind of go for length, I just end up looking like, I don't know, guy that doesn't care, depressed, you know,
yeah.
Suicidal dude.
Failed screenwriter.
Unabomber.
Failed screenwriter. I like that one. Yeah.
I've decided now that one of my favorite parts of the show is waiting to see what your titles for us are, because these are fantastic.
I thought that was a little more interesting than just letting you guys say, "Hello, my name's Newtaff," you know. I try to make them relevant, too. I don't want them to just be random, you know.
And timely. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, so, Newtaff, what have you been playing this week? Because I know you played something that wasn't Dark Souls, and I'm excited.
Played nothing but Dark Souls this week. I can't remember a single other thing that I played.
Dude, you played Sinemora.
I'm kidding. Yes, I played Sinemora, and it was awesome.
Son of a bitch.
Upon your prompting, once you said the word bison, I was pretty much going to play it. So, Sinemora was really good. The gorgeous, gorgeous game, and the characters are all crazy and weird, and it wasn't too hard for even a like terrible shmup player like me.
I know, right?
To get past, yeah. False Nipple was sitting in the Xbox Live party chat with us while I was playing, and he kept scaring me about the parts that are coming. He's like, "Did you get to the part with the giant wheel yet? Man, that took me forever. Or did you get to the part with the trash compactor? Man, you're never going to get past that." He was trash talking me the whole time, but you know, I managed to make it eventually.
Oh, yeah? So you beat it?
Yeah, I beat it.
Oh, cool.
The next night, yeah, after we played, I went back and finished off those last few levels. Yeah, that wheel thing that he was complaining about wasn't that bad for me.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah, once I started nailing those guns, and you only have to... you're just going through this maze, which is a huge wheel, and it's rotating back and forth, and you're inside the wheel, and there are these lasers kind of crossing your path, but you only have to shoot one side of the laser to knock it out, so it's not that bad.
And if you're careful about it... You know, I think when you destroy the lasers, you get a little extra time. And as long as you don't get hit,
right,
it's not too bad.
Probably the hardest part is like accidentally getting hit by the size of the wheel, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it wasn't too bad. It was a lot of fun. And I recommend it to anybody who even has a passing interest in shmups.
Yeah.
Yes. What else? I'm stuck on a level of English Country Tune. I've been banging my head against it for the last like 2 or 3 days. I'm pretty sure it's going to end up being the hardest level in the game. I just have a feeling about it.
Can you skip it?
Oh, yeah. I don't have to play this. So the way the worlds work is some of the worlds, kind of, if you beat them, it connects a link to another world. And some of the worlds are linked to by multiple worlds, so you'd have to fulfill multiple previous worlds as prerequisites to open them up. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, we teach you these mechanics, and these mechanics are what's required to understand this next one. But this particular one is, it's a leaf on the branch of the tree. There's nothing leading out from it.
I see.
But which is probably why they can make it super hard like that.
Well, as long as you can go back to it later.
Yeah, but I kind of want to knock it out now, because I've done all the other... It's the last level in this world, and I kind of want to knock it out right now, and then go on to all the easier stuff after that.
Yeah, I found out that it's actually on the iOS. It's on the iPhone.
Well, that's right, actually.
But it's like $6 or $7. Mm-hmm. So if they had demos, I would probably, I don't know. I'll have to watch some of your videos and see if it's worth the $7 is kind of high for an iPhone game.
I say it's easily $7 worth of playtime, but I mean, it cool. appeals to me in a very fundamental way.
Do you think the controls would work on an iPhone?
Yeah, there's no twitchiness at all. It's just puzzle gaming. You're just rotating tapping. A camera and, yeah, tapping directions probably. And finally, Dark Souls update for the week. Mm-hmm. Two interesting things. One is I tried to get Destructoid involved a little bit. I threw it up on the FNF, but we did I called it a fight club, basically. Even though the first rule of Fight Club is not to talk about it, whatever, and I promote it on a website. Yeah, whatever. It's just a convenient name, and it's so apt in all other ways. So Friday night, about 8:30, we started, ended at about 3 in the morning, got in something
That's awesome.
Something like over 100 fights. We started at mid-level PvP and then moved on to high-level PvP later on at lots of demand. So the way it works is I stood there as a host and I kept summoning people in just over and over, watching it and doing commentation. People seem to like that.
That's cool.
And I kept track of all the scores, so I have this list of like these 100 fights, and I might go back and pull up all the scores and share them with the people in the stream because they'd like to know who's the best. Some people had like 5 or 6 kill winning streaks, and then they get toppled by somebody. And it was good fun.
That's cool. Do you record these, or is it just a live stream only?
Twitch.tv automatically records stuff. I don't know how much it keeps in archive. Maybe a few days worth of streams in archive.
So you can go back and look at them?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and you can go in and highlight them and keep those saved for longer. I haven't actually done that for any fights, but actually anybody can go in and highlight my videos. So if you go onto Twitch and look at my videos and like something, you can snip out a little piece of it and have it saved to my channel forever.
Do you think that'll be like a typical Friday thing, or are you just trying it out?
I'm not going to do it every Friday. I kind of want to make it special. Like, if I do it every Friday, I think it will lose its appeal a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe
once
bi-weekly.
A month or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks, maybe once a month. It's going to be when I feel like it. Because that's a lot of talking. The next day, I couldn't talk a whole lot.
Was it fun just being the summoner? Like, did you actually get involved?
I fought a couple fights, but due to weird logistical problems, I couldn't use my PvP character, so I lost all my fights. But that was okay. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Hmm.
Yeah, not a big deal. Finally, I started another character, because I have problems. This one is a dual-wielding character, which is a weird mechanic that's not very highly used in the game. I'm trying to use a fast, short-range weapon in my main hand and a long, pokey weapon in my offhand, kind of to be able to push people away, make some distance if I need to. I'm going to see how that works.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, you're getting to the point where you're trying to look for new angles to the game, right?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, I've either played or seen lots of the kind of common ways to... especially PvP. So if I make a new character, there has to be some weird twist to it or something interesting about it to keep me engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
That's it?
That's me for the week.
Occam, what have you been playing? I know you're a little sick, so I don't know if you had more time off of work or not.
I beat Mass Effect 3.
Tight.
It was
nice.
Cool. Yeah. And I got the Shepard's actually a Reaper ending. Spoiler alert.
His face melts away and he's like,
what?
Burr, that awful sound. Burr, whatever. I can't. My voice is all fucked, so I can't do it. But
is the sound when the Reapers chase you?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody was telling about that?
Like, I got to a point when I was playing, like, I would hear it and flinch.
Ooh.
The Reapers chasing you was never particularly scary. Like, they really can't get you unless you let them. But just that sound was unpleasant. So I started having him play the yakety sax in my head whenever they were chasing me, run circles around each other.
Do you think they went for that deliberately? Like they wanted to make people cringe out of
oh, yeah,
some feeling?
Definitely. Yeah. Every time you see a Reaper at any point in the game, there's that brrrr sound. Just,
yeah. It's definitely stuff. The Inception sound.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I beat that. That was a lot of fun. I really liked it. I liked every aspect of it, including the ending.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, I think you said suck on that honky. So I
yeah, I'll reiterate that point. Suck on it, honky's ending was fine. And now I downloaded that scene more game. I haven't played the demo of it yet. I do want to though. There's that buffalo in a wheelchair, which makes me happy. do what?
I was gonna say it's an unlockable ship. You just put wings on the wheelchair and you fly around.
It'd be so amazing. Have little like balloons keeping them afloat, like in the up.
Yeah.
And I started playing today. Actually, I started playing Binary Domain. I got that in from GameFly.
What kind of game is that? I keep hearing about this.
It is a third-person shooter, and you're kind of in this world where robots are it's sort of like Blade Runner, only less. Awesome, but essentially there are robots in the world that they don't know they're robots, and what happened is some of their face will come off and they'll be like, I didn't know I was a robot, I'm freaking out and killing people. And there was a flood, so a lot of the earth was covered in water, and they rebuilt on top of the ruins, and they think they know who the guy who's making all these robots was, and you go, I'm in Japan right now trying to find the guy, be all like, what up dog. It's good. It's a lot of fun. The shooting mechanic is neat because you just, you shoot them and they're robots. So like your first couple shots will knock like their green armory bits off, and then they'll have like the little metal skeleton underneath. You got to keep shooting them, and you can shoot them in the legs and they'll crawl around after you. It's pretty neat though. They'll actually like crawl to a weapon and pick up the weapon and start shooting you if they don't have a weapon.
Oh, that's cool.
It is. And then the character interactions are great. So, because I guess one of the main like little things about the game is that you can actually, using a microphone, issue commands. And there's, fire, retreat, go over there, do stuff. Yeah. And I spent like 30 minutes today just yelling microphone, like trying to get my voice synced, which is great since I'm all sick, so I sound like this. And so I'm yelling, move out. And I had to yell out, move out, for about 5 minutes straight. And I think I got about 60% of the voice commands down, and which is a hoot. And your buddy, because you're this guy named Dan, you're just a white dude, special ops.
Are you kidding me? Dan?
Dan. Yeah, Dan the special ops guy, or ex special ops, special forces, whatever.
That's a new game that needs to be made. Dan the special ops guy. Dan the
extra special.
But your partner is a guy named Bo, this big black dude. Kind of think of Coltrane from Gears of War 3, but less Coltrane-y. Mm-hmm. He's okay, but he does a lot of stuff that I don't like. Like, he does this thing that with Japanese developers, when they cast a character who's like black or Mexican or something, they sort of play up the biggest stereotypes of them. And they'll be
super, super racist about it.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous because there'll be parts will be like, all right, we got to stay here, brother, and we got to get these guys. That's fine, cool. And then he'll be like, yeah, dog, for no reason. And not in the yeah, dog, but just like randomly. And it seems like he's like forcing it out of himself. And he does, sometimes you'll clear an area and he'll go, woo. But it is the most awkward, forced woo ever.
Oh, no.
It'd be like if someone said, your family has been in a car wreck and your mother is in a coma, like a vegetative state, and you had to go woo with that. That's about the level of woo we're getting. And
I'm trying to figure out why Coltrane doesn't bother me, because he's pretty he's out there.
I think because the guy who does the voice acting for Coltrane is really like that.
He really is. I saw like an interview where he showed up somewhere and he was just insane. He yelled woo all the time and he was so like he was so boisterous. He was exactly like Coltrane.
I don't quote me on this because I don't actually know, but he reminds me a lot of a guy who's a football player named Terry Tate, and he was in a series of videos called Terry Tate Office Linebacker.
Isn't that the same person?
I think it might be because they both did like thing. But if you haven't seen the Office Linebacker videos, you should check them out.
They're brilliant.
Yeah, they really are. And just I kind of grew to love him from that. And I guess maybe because these are from years ago. Mm-hmm. And then seeing Coltrane, I guess it didn't bother me because it was essentially just the same thing. But one last thing, you can issue a command of "I love you," which I do to all my teammates. But Bo, I keep saying it to him over and over, and his subversity's like, "Oh man, cut it out." And then you're like, "Yo, dog, you kind of creep me out." And it's gotten to the point now he's like, "What the hell, man?"
He changes the amount that you say it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's a lot of fun. It's definitely, I checked it out because I think Jim Sterling liked his review of it. And then Chili Billy Z on Twitter kind of said he had a surprisingly good time playing it. So I thought, I'll check this out. And I'm definitely enjoying it.
I think I remember Steve-O speaking highly of the demo. So I'm sure he's digging it.
Hmm.
Cool. Oh, and I have been playing the new Naruto game, but it's not as good as the old Naruto game.
You're all about the Narutos.
And I could give a shit about the anime. That's the weirdest thing. But for some reason, that fucking fighting game is really well done. Because it's so pretty. You're playing an anime. I like that.
I remember playing the GameCube ones, and I kind of dug them. They do a great job with the animations, and the characters are really cool looking.
I think what gets me into those games is the fact that a lot of your super moves... or like, almost like little cutscenes.
Yeah, they are.
And they're integrated so well into the combat. I really like that. It kind of gives a cinematic aspect. So I think one of the reasons... I think I like cinematic things incorporated in gaming, and that's probably why I enjoyed Ashura's Wrath so much. The end.
Yeah, I have a... what is it? An amendum from last week? I caught myself saying something about Vanquish where... I was talking about a crazy cutscene where I was ripping something apart, and you compared it to Asura's Wrath, and I said, "Well, I didn't have to press any buttons." Mm-hmm. I totally did. They had moments where I had to tap X a lot and press certain directions, and I'm a fucking liar. I had to press buttons.
It happens. At various
points, so I just wanted to fix that because inevitably, if I go back and listen to our previous podcast, I catch myself lying about something that basically it looks like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Sorry.
Which might be true. Who knows?
Yeah, it happens.
It's good to get a little errata in here.
Yeah. I can tell nobody, nobody cares because nobody complains about the inaccuracies. So, but I played a little more Cinemora this week as well. I went back through the story mode on normal, which is the basic difficulty, and beat my high score. Still didn't beat. I only played it again to try to beat Spencer's. I guess he's Spanker on Twitter.
Yeah.
And what's his crime minister on Detoid? But he has a slightly higher score than me, and it bothers me. And that just
slightly
proves what a high score dick I am. But I also tried out arcade mode a little bit, and you can. It's a little bit confusing to me, but you can. Go back and play just the stages as like their own thing and try to set a high score. I'm trying to figure out how the scoring works. I'm not totally sure, but I'm pretty sure whenever I use my slowdown technique, it like kills my multiplier, which I guess
is man.
So you're rewarded for not using your slowdown. But so anyway, I'm trying to work through that. But when you play on arcade, you have to play either hard or crushing, or I forget what the hardest difficulty is, but you have to either play hard or really hard, and really hard is not something I'm even going to mess with right now, but even just hard, you're always teetering, since time is your life, you're always teetering on like a 10-second mark.
Oh, man.
It's really tough, and if you get hit once and then inevitably twice, since you get knocked out of whack, it just fucks everything up. So I've been playing the first stage over and over and trying to memorize where all the enemies are, and it's a process. I don't know if it's fun or not, but it's a thing. But I do like that game. It's at least it has replayability,
And I need to look up some like videos of high scores of that, because I don't think I'll ever achieve anything really remarkable there. But I want to see people who did.
I'm trying to figure out the best strategy. I'm wondering if it's best to like stay towards the middle so you can kind of move around, or a lot of times it feels like it's best to just hang all the way back. And your shots land a little bit more delayed, but you can see all the power ups coming towards you. You have more time to react to enemy placement and stuff. But
I don't know. It's, I'm sure you just need to, there's probably some kind of a zone you get into where you just know what to do.
Right.
It's more about memorization.
The reason I stayed in the middle sometimes is sometimes you'll get bullets coming at you, and if you're in the middle, you have room to move backwards.
Mm-hmm.
To dodge
That's
them.
That's true, yeah. And then besides that, which, you know, I'll say it again, Cinemora, check it out. Get the demo. It's awesome. But I downloaded a new Gears of War 3 map pack, which makes me happy. I feel like the guys who bought Elite for Call of Duty, you know, they paid $50 and they've got, what, four maps? It's crazy. I think Gears of War 3 is up to like 25 or 30.
25 or 30 maps? What?
It's nuts. Every time they put out a map pack, it's like 5 new maps.
Oh.
Added to the already like 10 or 12 that were on the disc. There's a ton. It's good. Crazy. So they brought back Jacinto, which was one of my favorites from Gears of War 2. It's actually one that we played Friday Night Fights, you know, when we were first all hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good map. They changed it a lot, which I like. They improved it. They added a couple tunnels. When you were leaving spawn before, there was only one set of stairs to go up, and you know, you could kind of get caught at the bottleneck. But now there's like two other paths you can take, one low, one high. And I kind of like that, that they're not afraid to change maps after the game's released. I know a lot of companies, I don't know if they feel like they have to be true to the original map or they're afraid to change it, but they definitely made some improvements to it. They also brought back Raven Down, which is a shitty map from Gears 1 that was it's basically a, if you look at it from the sky, it's like a plus sign. You know, there's like four quadrants in a center area. It's really small. Just not that great. I mean, it's fun for like a shotgun battle, but nothing really going on. The only change they made is it snows so that the visibility is kind of cut down a little bit. So the fact that it's small isn't as big of a deal, but it's still pretty annoying as a map. And there's three new ones, which are all really fun.
Jeez.
It's hard to describe them with words.
any prominent features on any of them that are interesting? Just like set pieces or anything?
Yeah, one is called Cove. It's kind of like a big ship docked to a couple of docks, obviously. But it's like a port town looking thing, and there's like a little bar you can go in, and there's like a radio plane in the corner.
Cool.
It's a decent sized map, and there's a lot of fog rolling in, so it's kind of got a little bit of a spooky atmosphere, which is cool. There's one called Artillery, which midway through the fight, a tornado hits, and like tornado sirens start going off, and the wind kicks up.
Oh, nice.
And visibility is diminished a little bit, and if you look off into the side, there's just a huge fucking tornado bearing down on you. It's never going to like reach the map and suck you off the map or anything, but it's just cool. And then there's one called Aftermath, which I guess is after a huge like typhoon or something, but it's kind of like a map from the last Gears map pack, and I can't, no, it's called Academy. It's kind of like that. It looks like some buildings with pillars, and it's kind of like large courtyards and stuff. And there's a giant ship that was like lifted up and then dropped on a building, and it's just kind of
nice
of the stage. But I don't know. Enough about Gears. They're fun. And then on the iPhone, I've been playing Angry Birds Space a little bit. It's still pretty good. I mean, it's hard to complain about a $1 game. I don't know how they make their money. I guess they just sell trillions of copies of it. But I'm a sucker. I bought it, and it's fun for what it is. And then I've been playing Draw Something, which is, it's a pretty fun game. The annoying thing is it feels like there's only about 100 words, because I've seen repeats quite frequently, and you would think that it'd be easy. They don't have to do anything other than just include words for you to draw. You know, they don't have to show you a picture of it. So you don't think, I wouldn't think they would take up a lot of space, but maybe their algorithm is just off, or it doesn't keep in mind what you've seen before. But I see a lot of repeats of words, and it's no fun drawing the same thing again. You know, I think I've drawn Jenga 3 times. So I've been playing that a little bit. Oh, and I wrote down here that I'm excited for Fez and Trials, which both got dates pretty soon, which is exciting.
Wait, when is Trials?
Well, Fez is April 13th, which is a Friday. Kind of weird for an arcade release. But
that's true, huh?
And then Trials Evolution is on April 18th, so 5 days later.
So that would be probably, was that Wednesday?
Yeah, yep. Wednesday I think is the normal day.
Yeah, that's the normal day. But, weird, weird the Fez is on Friday. Strange.
Yeah, Friday the 13th as well. But yeah, and I watched a video on Trials today, and it's got four-player racing, and it's got a mode that looks like Excitebike, which is awesome. You know, where four players on four different planes.
Did they bring back, or I don't remember, was there ever online multiplayer?
Okay, whoops, sorry, technical issue. What were you saying, Nuta?
Oh, I was asking, did they ever get online multiplayer into Trials Evolution? Because I don't remember seeing it at PAX.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's in there. You can do, well, I guess I just assumed it was online multiplayer. I don't know. I didn't even consider it till now. I'm going to be really sad if it's not online. Yeah. I know you can, it said four players at once, and it showed a solid player, and it showed three ghostly players all like kind of racing down the same track, which I would assume would show that three people were online. The only reason they're not solid is so you don't run into them. Mm-hmm. But, so yeah, I'm going to go ahead on record and say that there is online multiplayer.
The other weird thing that we saw at PAX was the multiplayer track that we played. Did we ever play against each other? Yeah, we did, didn't we? And you won.
I remember playing the demo. I don't remember if I played against you.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember. But the track seemed kind of plain, you know? There weren't any of those weird features that are in most of the Trials tracks.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think one of the bullet points that like popped up on the screen and during the video I was watching said four players on all tracks. Like,
oh, nice.
But it's the different kind of multiplayer. So there's... There's the four-plane multiplayer where everybody's lined up like Excitebike, and all the ramps and the terrain is like real wide so that all four of you can be on there without, you know, fucking with each other. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is the you're solid and then you have three ghostly people that you're racing against.
Okay.
Which I assume is all happening at the same time. So
yeah.
On that one, everybody's on a single track, and... on Trials Evolution, they actually do this thing where they'll curve the track and it'll take turns. You're still on a single plane.
Right.
But the camera will...
I found the strategy guide for Planescape Torment at the Goodwill.
I hear that game's really good. Fame Designer loves it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's one of my favorite RPGs of all time.
What sort of game is it? Is it a strategy?
It's an RPG, kind of isometric view RPG, kind of like the first Fallout, first and second Fallouts.
Okay.
But the neat thing about it, it's set in the Dungeons and Dragons universe, but it's in this kind of offshoot thing, and it's called the Planescape. I guess it's just Planescape. I guess there wasn't a Torment part just for the game. Mm-hmm. But it's like just this insane world where a bunch of worlds kind of come together. It's like a nexus point. So, you wake up your corpse. And you wake up in a morgue and realize you have no memory, but you also can't die.
Nice.
And your partners in the game, like one's a succubus. Mm-hmm. One is a floating skull that also acts as your inventory. And he cracks like jokes all the time. And one of your party members is a mage who his body is trapped on the elemental plane of fire. So his avatar in the world you're in is like him in human form, but completely made of flame.
Nice.
And it's got a really great story and all kinds of weird shit, and it's just well worth your time.
So I see that it's on GOG for $10, and that means I should probably get it.
Yeah. It is definitely worth it. I own my original copy.
Nice.
And I bought it on GOG, too, because it's nice to have a copy I can play.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize it was so readily available still.
Yeah, it wasn't for the longest time. When they released that on good old gaming, I was happy to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Fame Designer keeps bringing up that he has a Planescape blog kicking around in his head that he never gets around to writing.
Nice. That was a really good blog he wrote a while back about his life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sad times. For him. Yeah.
When it cut out before, I got fully into talking about local versus online multiplayer, and you guys.
A beautiful so, seg.
Yeah. Nice. Anyway, that's our topic this week: is online multiplayer versus local multiplayer. And I asked you guys, what was the last local multiplayer game you played, or can you remember?
Jesus.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. Well, how long ago was that?
Months.
Yikes.
Yeah.
What about you, Agam?
Man, I don't even remember. I don't really play local multiplayer in my waking world, so it may have been playing Scott Pilgrim with y'all at PAX.
Yikes.
Yeah, that might have been it. I'm trying to remember if I played Shank with a buddy after that.
But regardless, it was like months ago. You know,
yeah,
it's
been a while.
It's not a prevalent thing in our lives anymore. We had another couple over at the house, and we played some fighting games, which was fun. That was only about a week ago.
Cool.
But that was the first time in a long time.
Mm.
But it was a lot of fun. You know, it's a totally different environment than being online. Online kind of, it can kind of feel sterile sometimes, like you're disconnected from it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
All right. So like at PAX when we played Rock Band together in different games, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was
Rock
amazing.
Band was crazy fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just you can kind of like it's kind of real time interacting with somebody and talking shit. And it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean local when it's a good group of people, local multiplayer is brilliant. Now I'm gonna take an example of. of like online multiplayer that I had earlier today. I was playing Team Fortress 2, and I mean just here it is, faggot. That's it. Yeah, just over and over and over, and you just mute those people because they're human garbage. But you get a lot of that, and for some reason, maybe it's just the servers I joined and the games I play. But there's like a lot of children that play Team Fortress 2 now. They just all sound like they're 13.
Well, it's free now, so yeah, it opened up the door to anybody, really.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But it's definitely different. And I sort of, you know, Team Fortress 2, I just jump into games. It's fine. I don't really care about the group, and I just mute anyone who's terrible. But, like, Xbox and console stuff, I tend to just play, you know, with y'all, mm-hmm. with my friends online. I won't join a random group. I have too many Halo horror stories for that.
Well, it's a little bit different now that there's an Xbox Live party system now, because I do most of my online multiplayer on Xbox. So before they introduced this party system where you can party up with people and you have your own little private chat where not everyone can hear you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I think the first game I really played online was Gears of War 1, and I would join in a room. And the way that game worked is you would have to sit around in the lobby until the game filled up, and then the game would start.
All right.
And I'd join a room, and then somebody would be like, Corduroy Turtle, what are you, fag? It's like, and so I'd try to have a conversation with these people, like, so what's gay about a turtle, or what, you know, what's faggy about that? And or my favorite comeback would be to say what their name was. And be like, well, I tried Elite Sniper XX12, but it was already taken, so I had to go with this one. But
nice.
Yeah, and it's no point in even talking to those people. But yeah, it's just when you and the internet in general does this. But if you take away a person's like identity, and they can do things anonymously, if they're immature and they're fucks, they're going to be incredibly racist and incredibly hateful. Mostly just to try to get attention. You know, it's not even that they really feel that way, or at least I hope they don't. It's just that they want you to pay attention to them. They want to be noticed, I guess. You know, maybe they're sitting at home and nobody gives a shit about them, and their parents don't talk to them. And if they say fag enough, somebody will be like, you're a piece of shit. And they'll be like, you know, go off on them or whatever. I don't know.
It's the same kind of person who, like, actively, like, talks about how much they love being a troll. Love fucking with people, which I don't understand how... I like sowing the seeds of discontent. It's cool, and I don't... I don't get it. Life's too short to be an asshole to people, because people like that end up angry and alone, and they don't understand why.
I don't remember if it was on this podcast that I talked about my Quake 4 horror story.
Do you guys remember this?
Oh, man, that was the first time I played on live. This was probably back in, like, December or January 06, or December 05 or January 06 when I first got my Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Quake 4 for whatever reason, because I don't know, there was nothing else. I didn't know any better. And I went online and played, and I was pretty bad. And there were these two guys on the other team that I kept getting matched with, and they were some of the, I don't know, scummiest people on earth. Mm-hmm. And they just, like, directly targeted me with this, all kinds of hate speech and stuff. And it pretty much, like, put me off of multiplayer gaming for a long time, at least on the Xbox.
Yeah.
And that happens. And I've heard that story many times from different people. And it's a shame. It really is. Because I was the same way. I didn't want to do Xbox Live. This is fucking, people are awful. They're trash. Mm-hmm. And it's going back to what you said, Eric, it's a penny arcade guy. It's probably, I think it's the greatest thing this guy ever did. I mean, other than the site now.
Oh, the internet.
Yeah, greater internet thing? Fuckwad theory or whatever it is. That's fucking, that's going to outlive all of us. But, yeah, but it's trying to kind of balance it by finding a good group of people or a way to filter out that shit.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of what I was getting into, is like when they introduced the Xbox Live party chat thing, I didn't think about it at the time, but it's pretty brilliant. Because by now, the fuckwads have kind of found each other. You know, they're like, dude, I hate fags too. Oh, cool. And then they start their own little Xbox Live, you know, hate party chat, and you know, I guess they all just curse obscenities at each other and talk about how they hate anything other than heterosexuality. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in there. I don't want to know.
I don't know.
But I don't notice it as much, so I guess that's nice, because I play a lot of Gears of War just by myself. I'll just join online matches, and I'm not with a team or anything, and I'm usually stuck with whoever's on my team. You don't hear a lot of chatting really at all. I think a lot of people are in party chat or just have given up, like me, and don't even wear a headset when they play randomly online, which I guess is kind of sad, but we all can't be team players, you know.
Go ahead, Occam's.
Well, I didn't say shit.
Oh, I thought you were about to.
No, it was Eric.
I don't remember if it was on the podcast that I talked about...
Quake 4? Yeah, you mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right, I just did. No, about party chat with Dark Souls players.
You mentioned how some of the people in your feed are kind of unsavory, I guess, dicks.
I've recently started trying to throw random private chat invitations to people that I end up either co-op or fighting against in Dark Souls. And these people are not as bad as you would think a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Sometimes they throw, like, angry messages back, but when you go private chat them, they're much more reasonable. And the other thing I like to do is sometimes people will send me, like, people like to gloat after they kill you. Like, one guy sent me a message that said something like, you like that kill? Why don't you suck on that? You like sucking on that? Or something. And I said, man, sorry, I'm not that good at this game. I'm just trying to get by. Nice kill, dude. And I found that shuts them up pretty well. Like, people get deflated a lot by getting a completely unexpected response to something that they said.
Yeah.
That's become my favorite thing to do.
When I was playing Tekken 6 online a lot, it was pretty common practice to send a message to somebody after you had, like, a well-balanced match, you know, where you kind of taking pot shots at each other.
GG.
Yeah, just send them a GG message. That can go a long way, you know. It's like a sign of respect. You're not talking smack. You're not being complacent and being like, yeah, you beat me, whatever. You're just saying good game. you know, all you really signed on to do was to challenge another person, and you were challenged, you know. So that's
I'm turned off to this GG thing. At least nowadays, I see too much of this GG nonsense with really bad fights in Dark Souls.
Like, well, somebody will. Yeah, I'm only saying, like, when it's, you know, when you fought someone else and you're like, damn, you know, I know they were, whether you won or lost, you know, if it was a close match, you're like, damn, I know that they were sweating it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, people will do, like, a three versus one kill with, like, multiple backstabs, and then everybody will bow at the end, and maybe there'll be a GG. And I'm like, what? How is that possibly G? There's nothing G about that one.
This is not G. That's what you send back to. So, you know, going back to, like, local multiplayer, you know, we talked about it on a... episode 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, one of the early ones where we were talking about, I think we were just talking about our childhood, but our childhood is filled with local multiplayer experiences because that's all we had. So there's like the arcade where there's just like an energy, you know, there's an energy you can't match online when you play a fighting game online. And then there's like GoldenEye where it's like split screen, and you can cheat and look at the other player's screens, and that's all been thrown out the window now. There's like sports games like Madden, where, not that any of us play that, but you can see the other person picking the play. I don't know how that works, but
I don't know anything about it. You just lost me.
I feel like certain games have thrived since online multiplayer has become more prevalent. Obviously, shooters, first-person, third-person shooters have taken off. You know, I don't think they'd be nearly as popular without the online. What's up?
I just remembered a thing. I talked about it on a previous episode, but we played Hidden in Plain Sight, I think was the name of it, that Xbox Live indie game. That was probably the last local multiplayer I did, now that I think about it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Half hour later. Okay.
Yeah, I just remembered when you were talking about like looking at the other person's screen and cheating, because that's all that game is trying to cheat that way.
But there was something going on there where, I don't know, it's a totally different environment, I guess, than online.
Yeah.
But
another question is, does it count if like you have a buddy over and the two of you play something together, or you like take turns playing something, or you're watching and kind of enjoying somebody else playing something? Does that count?
That's not really multiplayer, but I mean, a lot of people do that. It's nothing. You can't do that online, period. I don't know of any online game that lets you pass back and forth a single player experience and let you watch your buddy play.
No.
You pretty much have to be sitting next to him. So.
I wonder what sort of game that would end up being. I wonder if that could be cool.
It doesn't seem like it'd be too hard to pull off. They could just set up servers the same way as multiplayer works and just be more of a, kind of like how we can watch fights in a Street Fighter or whatever, be the same thing.
You gotta let the other person. I don't know. Either the levels have to be pretty short there, or you gotta give the other person something to do, like spotting or something. Maybe that would be pretty fun. Like a second player is a spotter.
Yeah, I know. Like in I hate to keep bringing up Gears of War 3, but when you die in Gears of War 3 and you're totally out, you can fly around and spot enemies or weapons and help your buddies out, so you're not bored as hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you could do in a local multiplayer situation that, you know, with online has just kind of died off. I was going to ask you guys, how did you come up with a gamer tag? Did you already have something in mind, or do you even care about that kind of thing?
This is related to local and online multiplayer?
Well, for online multiplayer, you know, you're known as whatever name you choose. You know, okay. I got made fun of for Corduroy Turtle for whatever reason.
That's weird to me, by the way.
I picked Corduroy Turtle out of frustration. It's not like I wanted to be known as the Corduroy Turtle.
I like the name. It's weird to me that you got made fun of for it. There's nothing. I mean, you see people you know, Sniper Killer 69XXX. That's the dumbest fucking shit. I don't. You would have to be like 13 and love Disturbed to think that's cool.
I did have a British guy give me a little compliment, or at least I took it as a compliment.
British, he's like, guy.
Well, he had a strong accent. I didn't have my headset on at the time, but he was, I guess, surveying the names in the room, and it's just like, oh, corduroy turtle. I'm doing a horrible accent, by the way.
It sounded Russian.
He's, yeah. All my accents turn Russian. He's like, I quite like that. That's a, it's like a tortoise wearing trousers. I like that. It's a nice imagery.
Anyway. Sorry, I'm laughing at the accent. Okay. It sounded like you were from New Jersey for a minute.
Just ignore that. But you heard the words I said.
Yes.
But
yes,
it was nice. I took it as a compliment, and I appreciated him.
Yeah. I always think it's more like a stuffed animal, like made out of corduroy.
What it really was, I don't remember what names I tried before this, but I tried a couple things, and I guess I didn't realize how Xbox Live was as big as it was, and everything simple was taken. I would have rather just had a simple name. I tried a few things. I tried a couple handles that I had used on other things. Nothing was working, and I got frustrated and was just like, all right, I'm just going to take two things I like, put them together, and, you know, I like turtles, and I'm digging on, at the time I was a fan of corduroy. I don't really wear them anymore, but I appreciated a good corduroy pant.
That's fair.
That's good.
The corduroy turtle. And then when I typed it, I was like, I know nobody is the corduroy turtle. There's no fucking way anybody else has put these two words together, and I was right. So that's why I'm known as this silly name, which has become normal. Any kind of weird thing, if you say it enough, it'll become normal.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a new TAF?
It's not an anything. I just kind of made it up. But it has its origins, at least the sound of it, has its origins from, you guys have probably never heard of these, but there's a series of comic books called Asterix and Obelix.
Yeah, and they're French. Yeah, Vikings. I know that shit.
It was a video game. That's why I know about them.
Yeah, most people and don't really know about them because they were kind of a British game. Thing.
Was that? And a what?
And an arcade game, side-scrolling beat 'em up.
Jeez, really?
Nice.
Okay. So there's one particular comic. It was called Asterix versus the Normans or the Vikings or something. And everybody from the Vikings had these goofy names that ended in AF. Like, I don't know. Yeah, they all ended in AF. I can't remember any of the names now. So, I don't know. Somehow that found its way into this name.
Did you use that on other things before Xbox?
Yeah, it was originally a character on a MUD a long time ago. Kind of brought it back for no particular reason. Actually, my first gamer tag was expired. This was it was an Xbox One gamer tag, and it expired, and they didn't have silver accounts then, so it's been irretrievably lost to me, which is kind of sad.
I think at one point I remember Larry Herb saying that a lot of those lost gamer tags were made open again. That was like a year or two ago.
I heard that they were going to do that, or they had like laid the foundation to do that, but I don't know if they ever did. I need to go back and check. I mean, you might be right.
Would you change yours, or would you?
Not anymore. Yeah. Too many people know me like this now. What's maddening is that it's freaking taken on Twitter. There's a guy called like capital KNU and then all caps TAF. You know, like, I don't know what this guy is, but he took my name. And it's taken on YouTube as well.
Oh, jeez.
So, what the heck?
It's weird, because it's a word you made up, you know?
Yeah. Apparently and, not well enough.
I've already heard the story, but I guess... Well, Occam, you go by multiple names.
I have many names.
You don't really stick with one. I mean, you're Occam's Electric Toothbrush on Detoid, which is a reference to Occam's Razor, right?
Yeah. And I even that was an original. I got that from a guy on FARC I liked. So, I think Occam's Electric Toothbrush has been around for probably as long as the internet has been, and people who think they're clever, of which I count myself one.
Your T-ball bat. What's that?
I like T-ball bats, and that was the one sport I was ever good at.
Oh man!
Stay still.
Yeah, I was really good at it. I could hit the shit out of I still can hit the shit out of a ball, but like it I had running. Ugh, God.
Yeah.
That just ruins it.
And how about Humboldt kid?
Yeah.
So I got an Xbox and I was all excited. And I sat there with this fucking controller in my hand and looked at the screen and I'm like, okay, this is something people are gonna have to see and identify me with.
Yeah.
And I knew what I didn't want.
Sniper Killer XXX69.
Yeah. Juggalo Poonhound But what I actually wanted was, that was tough. And I think I'd gone through a few different names, though I don't really remember any of them now. I think one of them might have been like Dorothy Parker fan, which I'm sure that's no. And I was thinking to myself, I really love the Humboldt squid. It's really aggressive. It's kind of known as the vampire squid. It's really neat. And there's Billy the Kid. And Kid and Squid kind of sound together. The Humboldt Kid. My only regret with this name, and I do like it, is having to spell it for people.
Because people don't know what a Humboldt is for some dumb reason.
Yeah, and it can be kind of a pain in the ass spelling. I'm trying to, what's your gamer tag? Like, ah, shit, get a piece of paper. You're not going to remember this. So that's the story behind that.
I had the same problem because I guess corduroy, for whatever reason, is not an easy word to spell, or it's not one that people think about. It's not one that people think about. So I get people, well, for one, they can't say it. I don't know if they've never seen it written, but they're like, Cordy Turtle, what's that?
What the heck?
Or if I'm, I don't give my gamer tag out to customers much. I've made a few mistakes in the past. It's
good idea.
And I'm not being a, I don't know what the word is, but when you run a GameStop, you become kind of a local celebrity, and I'm not, I've been like recognized in public, and it's only by the gamers that shop in my store, but I've worked there so long that I'm like the GameStop guy, and like people come in and they think they're a personal friend of mine. Because they shop there a lot. And I do have a couple of customers that I am really friendly with, and I like them personally. And there's other ones that I see a lot, and I sell them games. You know, it's nothing that I want to take outside of work. But I get asked for my gamer tag a lot, and I'm just like, you know, I'll mention that I like Gears of War Online, and oh, me too. Hey, man.
Oh, man.
What's your gamer tag? You know, and then I've given it out a few times, and it's like every time I log on, I get like invites constantly. It's like, leave me alone.
You know what you can say? You can say your friends list is full.
I could say that. I don't like lying. I don't like even little white lies that even if they serve a purpose. So I just tell them, it's like, I made a rule that I don't give it out to customers. I'm sorry.
Nice. That works better. And,
sometimes they kind of give me a look like, you're a dick, man. I thought we were friends. But
we're not friends.
You're not wrong, buddy.
But there are a couple customers that I did exchange it with. And it's funny, too, because I never play any games with them. We never communicate anything. I pretty much only talk to you guys online. But whatever. They're on my friends list. They feel better, I guess. But yeah, writing out Corduroy Turtle and then having them look at me like, really, that's your name? Okay, whatever.
I get a lot of trouble with people pronouncing my name, too. I don't know, they can't figure out. So I usually say, just call me Newt, and they figure that out.
Yeah, when I spell Newt, actually, like the animal Newt, I guess it doesn't bother you?
No, it's good.
Okay.
It works for me. Newts are all right by me.
Cool.
One last thing about mine. I just went now, and I looked up these two guys who have my name. So on Twitter, we have, it's Newt is his first name, K-N-U-T. His name is Newt A. Fjellang. And he's apparently like Norwegian or something, it really looks like. And on Twitter, it doesn't have his whole name, but he's from Norway. So I think I have the unfortunate choice of picking the word Newt in there, which is actually a name.
Yeah. Well, they named that that one polar bear baby Newt, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so it must be some kind of a common name, at least a little bit. Anyway, that was a kind of a tangent, but, you know, the gamer tag is a fairly important thing. You know, if somebody comes online like, hey, I want to be your friend. My name's Foreskin Knight. It's like, I don't know if I want to. Actually, Foreskin Knight's okay, but there's definitely less clever ones that kind of irk me a little bit.
I usually say, sounds like a winner. When it's I a see little, one of those.
Yeah, it's a little window into their soul. Yeah.
Are you ever going to change yours to 17 Wizards on Xbox Live?
I thought about it, and Joey told me not to.
Okay.
I'm definitely more known as Corduroy Turtle than 17 Wizards.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I guess I'm okay with running with two aliases.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, you can be like me and have like 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And the really, I just made that because it's shorter for Twitter, but I do like it. It's got a ring to it. It's whatever. Yeah, I don't really know where to go with this next. What a boring topic.
Did you guys play any of these live arcade games, local co-op? Like Scott Pilgrim or Shank or, I don't know, you guys saw me playing Schizoid with Steezy at PAX as well. Did you play any of these?
I play a lot of Carcassonne or Carcassonne.
Oh, yeah.
I do like that one. That just plays out like a board game, though. But my girlfriend and I like that one a lot. One thing I do like about the online multiplayer that is almost kind of a byproduct of it is the leaderboards. You know, when you play something at an arcade and you set a high score and you put in your little 3-digit. What's your guys' 3-digit thing, by the way? Did we ever talk about this?
I don't think we did. Mine's 3 question marks. Boom!
Mine's probably AAA because I'm too lazy to... I rarely go to arcades. I don't have that drive to put in anything useful. I never get high scores either. I suck at all games that I play in an arcade.
You do.
I put in BEK because I'm a big Beck fan, and once I started using it, it's not even... It's nothing to do with Beck anymore. It's just like my arcade tag thing. But that's kind of what I like about the Xbox Live is... It's almost like a personalized little leaderboard. You know, it's nothing that you could ever have in an arcade, but like I can load up, well, Cinemora for one example, and like see how all my friends that played the game rank on that, or I can load up a level on Super Meat Boy, which I think like 15 or 20 of the people on my friends list have played. And I don't know. It's a competitive thing that's kind of passive. You know, people don't have to look at it. They don't have to give a shit about it. But if you're weird like me, you go in there and kind of obsess over it. It's something that wouldn't really exist otherwise.
I really, really want to do like turn-by-turn games of like Meat Boy or whatever with like people like you in a room.
You want me to set high scores under your gamertag. I know what you're trying to pull here, buddy.
No. we can have us both logged in to keep... You know, passing back and forth. That would be just so much fun to watch somebody like pulling an awesome run and then trying to one up them like to their face.
That would be cool. Would we have to like sign on and off constantly?
I don't know. I don't even know.
See, they need to work this kind of mode into a game. It can't be that hard.
That's true.
I don't know, Occam. What I know before you met us, you didn't really play much online at all. So what? When FNF first started up, what made you even want to join?
It was the personalities on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I wanted to be part of the cool kids club.
Well, I like y'all. Well, I like Gareth. I still like Gareth. he's very friendly to everyone. Like it's funny to see the groups, all the different groups he joins and plays games with, because he's just friends with everybody. He's
pretty ubiquitous when it comes to online gaming.
Yeah, really is. But I just sort of, I originally was going to do it for PS3. I went and got a Bluetooth headset, and I rented Street Fighter when this came out. And I put it in, and I was like, okay.
Now what?
What do I do now? I want to play games with people and talk to them. And yeah, this is me, like, all right, I'm going to be an extrovert for a little while, even though it's really difficult. And nothing happened. And like an hour into me sitting there trying to join people, I was like, hey, fuck y'all. Fuck everyone. People are shit. Hope you all burn in hell. Going back to playing. Yeah, not really. But, you know, I was all like, that didn't work. People suck. And then I a couple of weeks later, tried to join a game with Gareth. And I was terrified because I don't do that well. I don't know. In person, I at least have the benefit of being scary looking, kind of, when I want to be. Or at least vaguely creepy.
I kind of feel the same way. Like I can't read people's faces and they can't see me.
Yeah.
And it takes away part of my mystique.
It's, for me too, it's a bit like the way I talk sometimes and the things I say, they don't come across well in just online chat. in person, I can at least explain, or you can at least see my eyes and understand that I'm not going to touch your crotch often. But online, it just sounds kind of, it's hard to make a JonBenet joke online, and people are like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's hilarious. Those people are like, oh, a little girl was murdered. And they're like, well, you know, fart sound or something. But and I joined and played a game with Gareth, and I forget what the game was. Who knows? But it was good. We had a nice time. We chatted. I got comfortable, and from there, it just sort of snowballed into what it is. Actually, and it's funny, Eric. The first time I ever chatted with you, I was really nervous about it, like just you and I, because you'd always come across so hi. This is who I am, and this is my name, and blah blah blah.
Online or in chat?
Online.
Okay.
First time we like played a game together, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm Occam's, and you're Corduroy. Because I don't know, you seemed really like straightforward and kind of baseline. I was like, oh, this guy's gonna fucking hate me because I'm gonna start talking about random shit. He's gonna think I'm an asshole. But luckily, it didn't work out that way, right?
No, it didn't. You're one of my favorite online people.
Well, thank you.
I think my first, I can't remember if my first online experience was with Gareth or, I think it was Andy Dixon. I was playing Gears of War 2. It's all about Gears of War this week.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing Gears of War 2, and I guess through Detoid or maybe FNF or, I think the FNF blogs weren't really a thing back then. Like, it had all kind of fallen apart before I got there, and didn't really know what it was. But it was a Friday night, and somehow I convinced Andy to join me on a game. I created Andy Dixon, by the way. If I don't know if we discussed this on the podcast, but I called him out on his Bonerific talk, and I think I made him aware of it, and he upped the ante and started saying Boner all the time, and now he's the fucking community manager.
You've created a monster.
I take credit for that. But he didn't have a mic, so it wasn't as fun.
Oh, man.
But, and he, I don't think, like I said, I don't think anybody really likes Gears of War online like I do, like the difficulty of it. So he was getting killed a lot, and I don't know if he's having fun. He just sent me a message at one point because his headset was broken. He was just like, I suck, you know, like frowny face. And I responded through the headset. And I was like, ah, don't worry about it, man. But eventually, you know, got into a room. I played with Steezy a little bit in Red Dead Redemption. And that was a good time. Played with Disco Pony, and I think in the same night, he joined up with us. And he was like, hey, you want to see something cool? And he started, like, riding by on his horse and then shot his horse in the head. And got thrown off, and I was like, oh, dude, that was fucking awesome. And I remember Steezy just kind of like jumping around, and no matter what we were doing, he had to be moving, you know, like I was waiting for like the mission to end or start, and he's just like hopping around. It's just seeing this cowboy who like can't stay still, and he's like leaping over a wall and just running in circles. It was funny. But yeah, and then we had our like our horde mode nights where we would all just kind of, it was almost like old dudes around like a poker table, like smoking and talking.
Yeah.
Only, you know, we were shooting aliens and talking about that, but it's good times.
I think Dixon got me into it, or Dixon was my first memorable experience. It was all you guys in there, but Dixon was the one who, like anything I said, he would burst out laughing. And I don't know why. I still don't know why. But everything I said was somehow funny to him, so he was laughing the whole night, and that made me feel really comfortable.
Yeah. I love that one night where we were playing Halo Reach, and we were playing on the map that I built a giant stone boner in the middle of the map. I told Andy I was going to do it, and he's like, oh, yeah, you should totally do it. So the giant, huge dick, just an erect penis in the middle of the map that was like a stone structure. And
it's got a man cannon on the tip of it too. So you run to the end of it, and you go flying off.
Yeah, you fling yourself like ejaculate to the other side of the map. But we were playing on that, and I think that might have been the first game that Supermonk joined. And him and Andy had the same laugh.
Yes.
And it creeped us the fuck out.
Yes. still sound a little bit alike.
Yeah, and then that was the fuck my ass night where somebody kept saying fuck my ass, and we all just laugh our asses off.
It's got to be Monk.
Yeah, it was good times. But you know, there's few experiences like that where it does kind of when everybody gets comfortable, and you're all just kind of, you know, making fun of each other and having fun, where it does almost feel like you're all in the same room. Mm-hmm. And it can almost reach that point where with that local multiplayer, the energy of like a local multiplayer situation. Mm-hmm. But not totally.
It's nice. It's the key thing is having that group of people you're comfortable with. And you can be like, hey, yeah, this is fun, and I don't feel awkward or anything.
Yeah. Hmm. And I feel bad for, like, the lurkers on Detoid who, like, you know, they're just hanging out and they feel like, ah, nobody wants to hear what I have to say, or, you know, whatever. It's like, or the fact that an FNF blog or whatever only has, like, three games, or it only, you know, the blogs only have, like, six FAPs or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
kind of sad.
That's part of the reason I did the whole decoder ring thing. It was just kind of a way of ushering in, you know, say, hey, here you go. It kind of seems like a gimmick, but this is just a different way to say welcome, and maybe you'll find a sense of community here like I did.
Stick around, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, for any of you Detoiders who, like, ever comment on anything and you are thinking about getting in on FNF, totally do it. People will recognize you, almost certainly. I'm always excited to see people I may have seen on the site jump in an FNF game.
Yeah, it's great. And seeing, like, False Nipple the other night, that was great. I missed that guy, and I got to talk to him a little bit. It was a good time.
Well, I remember when Swishy joined a Battlefield game with us at one point, and I was like, hey, I've seen you on the site. Awesome, dude. And he turned out to be pretty cool.
He's a cool guy. Should we move on to questions?
Let's do it.
I think so. We got a whole bunch of them here.
So let's close out this topic. There's good things about both. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have to wave bye-bye to local multiplayer for the most part. It's kind of just dying off. But I think there's different avenues they could go down with the online that could be more interesting. It's not just versus co-op or single, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll check real quick, but I don't think I have any questions. People like to ignore the official Secret Moonbase podcast Twitter account, so I acquired approximately zero questions. So it's all on you guys.
Well, I got a lot. You want to go first, Nude, or do you care?
I like this first question. I want to throw this one out. This is from Browner2008 on Twitter. Who hopped in my live stream today, by the way. Thanks, guy.
Oh, nice.
That was very cool. And I now added him on he added me on Xbox Live, so maybe we'll play something sometime. Anyway, so his question is there a game you don't want to come out this year? I thought that was kind of interesting.
Don't want...
I'm on the fence about Halo 4, to be honest.
What? Really?
2 years for Halo? Should it be two, or should it be like more like three? I'm on the fence. I don't want it to be like every other year is a Halo year.
I think it would be more exciting if it was the launch of the next Microsoft console and they had a brand new Halo trilogy starting with that. It's going to be awkward transitioning to a different console for the follow-ups, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember, between the Xbox One and the 360, Halo 2 was still playable between the two, I believe, right?
Yeah. I believe so.
So, I don't know, if they decide to do that, a similar sort of thing again, especially for a blockbuster like Halo, maybe it won't be as much of an issue.
They've been on a release of Halo every year thing for a while now, though.
Not every year.
Yeah, ODST filled in the blanks, and the Combat Evolved filled in the blanks. They figure out a way to release one each year.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So yeah, maybe Halo 4. Maybe that could wait another year.
I don't know. I heard a rumor that Prey 2 was canceled, which made my dick shrivel up a little bit. That made me really sad.
I don't know much about Prey, sorry.
it doesn't matter, but Prey 1, throw it out the window. Not really a thing when you're talking about Prey 2, but the video for Prey 2 looked great. They showed a little snippet of gameplay at PAX last year, which was really cool. I think Andy and I watched it. It looks like Blade Runner. Looks really fun. I heard a rumor that it was canceled. That would make me sad. But a game that I don't want to come out this year, I heard that True Crime. There was a True Crime game that got canceled by Activision, and I can't remember what city it was supposed to be.
San Francisco, like in Chinatown or something?
I think it was full on, like an Asian country.
Yeah.
But anyway, True Crime, you know, Shanghai or something. And it got canceled, and it got picked up by Squaresoft or Square Enix, and it's going to be released, and they can't use the same name. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be called Sleeping Dogs. And it's just got failure written all over it. And it's like, I don't know why people or why companies release games that are going to be failures. I think a lot of times it's just they know it's going to suck, and they just want to recoup some of the money, even if it's not enough to make it back. You know, at least it's better than zero. I feel like that's why bad games get released. But
pretty much.
It doesn't look good.
I mean, it's better to release a shit product and earn something than release nothing and make no money.
It's true. But, yeah, I wish stuff like that didn't happen. I don't know. What do you
think? Is it really better to release a bad product than to release nothing?
No, I mean, financially, yeah. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, you want to talk creatively or building that up. Yeah, it's a terrible idea, but I don't think, and this is getting another subject, but I think the people who control the money and people who make the game are two very different people. And the people who control the money give a shit. It's a product and it makes some money back.
Assuming you actually recoup your costs on
no, but here's the thing, you know, if you say you dump, and I'm just throwing out random numbers here because I don't know how it really works, but say you dump $20 million into making a game, mm-hmm. or we'll just go $20 million. I know it's probably too high, and it sucks. You know, you're playtesting it. You spent the last year trying to sharpen it up a little bit.
Yeah, true.
You know, the people are just hacks and they just can't do it. So you're like, all right, fuck, all right. We're going to spend, you know, an extra $5,000 or $5 million on marketing. What's like Operation Raccoon City, Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. I've heard nothing but shit reviews from customers. The game comes back the same day people buy it. Almost universally, no one has really liked it. The best thing I heard someone say about it was, it's all right. I thought it would be better. But, you know, you release that, and they sold a decent amount of copies of this Raccoon City game. They basically tricked enough people into giving them $60, and, you know, they recouped some of the money that they dropped on making the game. And it's not like the whole Resident Evil name is tarnished or anything, but it's, you know, that's probably why they released it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a product.
Yep.
I was thinking more about catching the failure earlier in the cycle.
I've read different things about that. Like people, they've gone back and interviewed, they who are, you know, journalists or just people in general, interviewed people who worked on games that were shit. Like games are universally considered terrible. Mm-hmm. And like, well, what happened? Is they ask. It's like, well, it started in this thing. And then this mechanic or this point of view was implemented, and we couldn't go back and change it. You mostly boil down to money. They had the money and time. A lot of bad games that I've seen read about were rushed because they needed to meet a deadline, or there wasn't enough money to finish it properly, or they just wanted to make money, so they didn't they didn't go back and fix anything. So
more money, more problems.
Word.
What's that was a good question. Thanks, Dan.
Yep. Yeah, thanks.
Damn good question.
What was
a Dan good question? so alone.
Oh God, let's quickly move on.
All right, I have four questions from Johnny Wags on Twitter, and
who is Johnny Wags?
He is Who are you, Johnny Wagger? I think he works on Netflix's, on the Twitch TV.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm going to open his page. Maybe not. I don't really know who he is, but we talk on Twitter sometimes. He's a nice guy. So I'm looking at a picture right now. I don't recognize him from anything, but he's a cool guy. I like him. So, all right. First question is, what is Homestuck? Now, before y'all answer it, I have no idea what that means.
I don't either.
Reference to anything. At first, I thought it was Homestuck, which I was going to think was some kind of dealing with domestic violence.
Okay.
And I think Homestuck is just a fat person stuck in their home.
Home?
Is it a syndrome?
If you want it to be.
Okay. It's a syndrome.
Okay. It's a syndrome where fat people get stuck in their home. That's Homestuck. Eric, do you have anything you want to add to that statement?
I like the idea of a police code being Homestuck, just for like a like a quick little way to write down that someone got beat up at home. It's literally a Homestuck situation. And then they write that down and move on.
His next question, which I appreciate, is how thin will Death's line beard be in Darksiders 2?
Oh, jeez.
And I want to go somewhere in between, like, gruffy hipster line beard and Eurotrash thin. So I'm thinking like a medium level there.
But where's Mega Chimo fit into this?
Where does what?
Mega Chimo fit into it.
What the hell is that?
You know what Chimo is? Child molester? You never heard of that slang?
Chimo? No.
Oh, wow. I can't believe you guys haven't heard this.
Why does something like... why does something so horrible deserve such a cute little short name?
Dude, we just call them pederasses where I'm from.
I don't know. Some years ago, I heard the slang Chimo.
Chimo. Oh, that's terrible.
I thought, like, you said Mega Chimo. I was like, is that like a J-pop band? I don't... Oh, my God.
I don't think things that terrible deserve little shortenings like that. It's,
okay.
It's misleading.
I see your point there.
I'm trying to think of, I'm trying to shorten something else that's like equally horrible. I'll blurt it out later. I can't think of anything. Chimo.
I mean, like a serial rapist could be like a Serapo or something.
A Serap.
Serap.
My mind's just racing. I just imagine a person eating babies, and I was trying to shorten that into something cute. I can't. So
I had a really good idea for a.
It's a ham bay, a hammer baby.
No, it's not.
Ham really baby. For a Halloween costume, you could go as a serial rapist, but like cereal, like the food, and you could like adhere a cereal bowl to your crotch, and then have like. Cereal like duct taped on your like duct tape but like adhered to your pants with like milk dried on it and stuff.
Great.
You good?
Good. Fuck y'all. All right, next
question.
Yeah,
I don't know. Chin beard, pretty thin. More importantly, is it angled or is it just a curved line? I'm thinking it's angled.
Yeah, he's got a pretty angular face. So yeah. I think it's gonna be that.
Maybe a lightning bolt pattern.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. That. Yeah. Totally. He's probably going to have, like, a skull necklace on, too. And a rosary.
I'm hoping.
And another necklace, because that's the thing now where you wear seven different necklaces at once with your shirt open up. Thanks, white people. All right. And then his next question is, what is your podcast about? And, well...
Ostensibly, it's about video games.
Yeah. Clearly, he doesn't listen to it.
Clearly doesn't, but he asks questions. I'm going to answer him, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about video games, dick.
Well, that's one way to put it.
Sir.
It's about video games and Carol Burnett fun facts. That's what it's about. And his last question is, can I be a guest?
I don't know. You got to listen to the show first. I'm not comfortable having some schmo that doesn't know what our podcast is about. Did I just call him a schmo?
Yeah, you did.
He's a chimo.
He's a chimo.
I don't want what some chimo sneaking into our podcast.
What's a schmo? Because I know what a schmuck is.
I don't know.
Shoe molester.
A shoe molester. I know people who are into that.
We have a grocery store called Schnucks. Is that out by you guys?
No. It sounds like... Go ahead.
It looks like Schnucks. I don't know. It's a weird last name. I think it's someone's last name. But.
Schnucks sounds like what happens when you stick your fingers in a girl's pussy and her asshole at the same time. She got schnucked.
I'm never going to grocery shop the same way. I can't say grocery shop.
That's fair. All right. That's
Schmo. Yeah, Schmo. I don't know. It's a word for an unknown person.
It's fair. That's fair.
I think I just offended somebody that I don't know. Sorry, Johnny Wags. I want to personally apologize. Let's move on to the next question.
What you got, Newt?
All right. Got one from Flint Mech from Twitter. He says, if you could go back in time and stop the creation of a video game, what game? Who would you kill?
Good Lord.
That's a bit of a jump, isn't it?
You mean going from stopping a game to killing somebody?
Wow. Hmm. What game would I not want created? What game was shit? The damaged game.
Who's the guy?
Hitler.
No, I like him. He's cool.
Osama bin Laden.
No, he's got a sweet beard. Guy that created Heavy Rain?
David Cage.
Everything I read about that guy makes him seem like a douche. He also thinks he's pretty awesome, and he's wrong. So I wouldn't kill him, but I'd hog tie him and throw him in some shallow like sewer water and let him kind of roll around in it.
Okay. I don't know. I kind of liked Heavy Rain.
I enjoyed Heavy Rain too, but it's a cinematic thing for me. So.
Mm-hmm. I saw more of the potential in it more than the actual game itself. There were a few select scenes that were very well done, I thought. But
didn't you hold X to walk forward?
I can't remember.
That? Yeah, I think you do.
You hold
no
X
because
to
you press
forward,
X to Jason. So
I was thinking that too.
Yeah. Oh, and that game spawned a bunch of shit memes that people won't shut up about. So
yeah. Like
press X to Jason.
Yeah, Heavy Rain can suck a dick. It's not helping anything. He wants to make movies, go make a movie.
Well, Portal also spawned some pretty bad memes. And they got overused anyway. They were good at first.
Just one, really.
Yeah, I guess so. But it was mega popular.
Yeah, but all it was a scribbled word on a wall. You know, the Rat Man wrote Cake is a Lie on a wall.
Yeah.
It's gamer's fault.
Yeah. I'm toying with the idea of Fable 3 because it was bad.
Fuck, man. Why not just Fable in general?
No. I liked the first Fable. First Fable had a nice feel to it. It was a pretty solid action game. You swung your sword a bunch and you killed stuff and there were these cool doors. I don't know.
I did like the doors. I enjoyed the world of it. It was very kind of cozy and I liked the music. It was like a Monty Python kind of RPG or I guess more Terry Pratchett sort of Discworld feel to it.
Are you guys okay with the fart button?
The gestures.
Yeah.
Oh, the gestures were so badly done in 3 at least. I don't know about 2 because I watched Leah playing it and half the time she would spend doing every different gesture to each person until they like liked her or hated her or wanted to marry her or something. And she'd do this to every single person one by one in every town. It was maddening to watch.
That sounds horrible.
Damn, that's...
Like dancing with every guy and then doing the stupid chicken dance for every kid. It was bad.
It's like my buddy was playing Shenmue way back when. We were watching him and he refused to run. He just refused. So he spent the entire game walking everywhere. And it just... Like, I would just get up and go smoke a cigarette and come back and still walking and fucking...
Have you seen this man? Isn't that like 80% of what you do in Shenmue? You just ask people if they've seen this man. Have you seen this man?
Yeah, but the fight scenes are really cool.
Yeah. So Shenmue, that's the one that you would keep from happening?
No, I like Shenmue. I don't know.
Darksiders 2, I mean, that's what everybody wants you to
man.
Say.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. No,
too
because
easy.
It's given me so much joy in my life to be able to talk about it. Probably that Dave Mirror BMX triple bet. Because that just was a failure of human engineering and everything. I don't know. It was terrible.
I've never played that.
I have. I've played it, and it is so It's just like...
How's the video quality? I mean...
Oh, dude, yeah. It's a common... You know, it's like the Duke Nukem strippers from way back when, only, like, you know, on a PlayStation.
There's a game called The Guy Game on PS2.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla or something, right?
No, it's not Adam Carolla. It's just the guy on the cover is just some douche. I don't know. He's a nobody.
Okay.
But it got pulled off the shelves because apparently one of the girls that showed her breasts in that game was like 16 or something. So she was too young.
This controversy.
And they... weirdly enough, they pulled it off the shelves like until she turned 18, and then they put it back on the shelves. She's still underage, you know, in the game. But I guess that's
okay. I don't
see
how that works.
I'm not even sure what happened, but for about a month or two, I got a lot of phone calls. Hey, do you got The Guy Game? Or when I worked at Blockbuster, people would do this thing where they would they'd bring up like three movies, and there'd be like Fox and the Hound on top. And then, like, a classic, you know, like, Old Yeller. And then the bottom one is, like, Misty Feelings or something. You know, some kind of drama movie that vaguely is making
some
a reference to
thing.
A vagina or a tit. Yeah. So it has, like, a woman with, like, a silk blanket barely covering, you know, whatever. Yeah, they would sneak it in there thinking, like, oh, they won't notice. And guys would do that with The Guy Game. They do it with Leisure Suit Larry too. There's a 360 Leisure Suit Larry game.
Oh God!
Yeah, I've seen that play it a little bit. It's bad. Anyway.
All right. I don't know. Do we answer that one well enough?
Yeah, and as for the question, the game to stop being made and then kill somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
So Newtaff would have killed Peter Molyneux.
I guess.
I would have killed David Cage, and Occam would have killed J-Mo, or what's his name? The artist?
Oh, Quesada. John Quesada. No.
Mad?
Joe Mad.
Joe Madera, yeah. I'm thinking of the editor-in-chief of Marvel now. No, actually, I'd kill Nancy Grace, because she's an awful cunt.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We got any more?
Yeah. We got three from Calamari.
Oh, cool.
Jesus. Nice. That's
and
awesome.
Some of these are, I don't know, these are going to be long.
Okay.
He says, well, what other games would you like to see Journey's unannounced drop-in style of multiplayer in?
I remember a mode in Perfect Dark where it was called a counter operative or something like that. It wasn't any fun because you had to play split screen, so you would kind of already know where the other guy was. But the your opponent or your second player would just become a random enemy in the game, and you would play through a single player mission, and they would just be a random soldier, and they could do whatever they wanted and try to like thwart your plans. And if they died, they would get respawned as like a different enemy. Kind of similar to Dark Souls almost. It'd be fun to drop into someone else's single-player game and just be a random enemy and try to fuck with them.
That is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like that. Or like if they had a game where you could control a boss.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Fun.
Oh, man. Dare I bring up Demon Souls? Because there was exactly that in Demon Souls. Monk is the name of the boss, the old monk. Do you remember this?
Yeah. I remember that guy.
Yeah, there's a boss, and you go up to him, and another player gets matched and pulled from their world while they're playing and to play as the boss. And, man, I tried that once, and the other guy and I just went back and forth healing and poking each other with spears for, like, 20 minutes, and I was like, this is enough of that. Because I didn't know anything about multiplayer at the time. But it was a really, really cool idea.
I kind of thought about a game... I didn't mention this last podcast where we were pitching game ideas, but it'd be fun to be like a crazy boss in a cave and just take out different groups of heroes that come in.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like different stages.
Tecmo's Deception.
Don't you set traps and stuff?
Yeah, you sell your soul to the devil, and then you set up traps and like can summon creatures to fight them. And I love that game. It's actually one of the few games I don't have from back in the day. I need to find a copy of it. But I had so much fun playing that game and like killing these heroes with spike traps and shit. That was great.
Is that one PS2?
PS1.
Oh, okay. But there was a PS2 spiritual successor to it, right?
Excuse me. I believe so. Maybe. Look at my shelf here.
I can't think of the name right now.
There was another deception game. Oh, what the fuck was that called? Oh, it'll come back to me. I don't want to harbor on it. But yeah.
What's another Calamari question?
Next up. Also, Smash Brothers, discuss.
First one's the best. Fuck everyone else.
No, he's wrong. They get better each time.
No, they don't.
I can't wait for the next one. It's... I don't know. I don't think the Wii U controller will necessarily offer anything other than, I don't know, item usage or taunting or something, but it's going to be fun.
Trapped. Hopefully,
if yeah, that's what it was called, Trapped. Yeah, back to the Deception sequel. Yeah, I think if the Wii U has an online infrastructure that's improved, kind of like the 3DS is actually pretty decent, I have high hopes for fun Smash Brothers multiplayer matches. And I hope for Pikachu's glorious return.
Cheap-ass fucking broken Pikachu.
I was trying to imagine who they could really add as far as characters, and I came up with, like, Waluigi. And, that's about
Waluigi
it.
Waluigi number one.
But, why don't you like the GameCube Smash Brothers?
It was too busy for me. It was too much going on. And I like the simplicity of the first one.
Yeah.
Well, you're I am not, but that's fine too. It's one of those things where it's just I kind of cut my teeth on that game. Well, it was the first fucking game. And played it religiously in college and in high school. And I was really excited when the new ones came out, but they kind of made a movement towards... it was just a bit of a faster pace, and then all the different items and everything. I didn't like it. Yeah. And they're fine games. So just do, you know, I just like the first one best.
I think they're just looking for a way to include more franchises without adding characters from that franchise. You know, items are just kind of a little window into all the other games.
Yeah, no, that's understandable.
And I guess they could include more characters that aren't Nintendo. You know, they had Snake and Sonic.
Yeah.
I don't know who else would really fit in there. If they put fucking Ryu in there, I'm going to throw the game across the street.
Man. Death from Darksiders. I'm in there.
They need to put in Chibi Robo. Do you guys know who that is?
No, yeah, I know Chibi Robo.
He deserves to be in there. He's cute. All right, what's the next question? Smash Brothers, good.
Last question, he says, also, the Diablo series. Are you hype? Yes/why the hell not?
I'll let you guys go first.
I'm looking forward to playing it with you guys.
I'm hype as fuck. I spent a million, billion, jillion hours playing Diablo and Diablo 2. And I love those games. And I missed that cathartic click, 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 click sound. It was, it let me know that my life was okay and that everything was good and I was warm and safe.
I reached a point where I was mega hype, and it's kind of diminished now, and I don't know. I am looking forward to it, but I'm not drooling over myself for the game anymore. I'm thinking about when I'm going to fit it into my schedule. It's nice that it has a date, though. I'm glad for that.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened with that? You got busy? You kind of just burnt out on it?
Burnt out on Diablo? It's impossible to burn out.
On the hype, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been too long for me. It happens with some games. There's like a sweet spot where I'll hear about it and I'm excited, and I hear more details and I'm like even more excited. And you know, maybe they put out a gameplay trailer and I'm like, oh man, this looks great. And then you just don't hear anything new, and then a year goes by, and then they finally get around to announcing the classes, and it's kind of like, all right. And then there's a beta like a year ago. I don't know. The game's going to be fun, and I know it's going to be good, but it's coming from a person who didn't play one or two hardly at all. So
wow. Okay.
You know.
Yeah, that's fair.
I usually I usually get my fill of it. I end up getting burned out on Diablo because I'll play a bunch and I'll get all kinds of loot and I'll get somewhere and at some point I'll say, I feel okay now. I think I've gotten enough random items. I've scratched that itch.
Yeah.
That didn't happen to me with Borderlands. Not for quite a while. I played quite a lot of that, and I think it has more to do with multiplayer is one, and secondly, there's a more of a Twitch aspect in terms of aiming and things like that.
I'm really glad I get to have Borderlands 2 when it comes out, so I can actually play with you guys.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That'd be fantastic.
And speaking of Diablo again, I did get excited when I heard the possibility of a console port, and then that's not really been spoken of, and the game has a date, and it's only on PC, and I'm kind of like, I was kind of bummed out by that.
Wait, is it going to be Mac?
It doesn't matter. We have a PC and a Mac in the house, but
okay.
A Mac would be easier. I don't know if my Mac would even run it anymore. It's about three years old now.
Yeah, I may have to get a new video card for it. My computer, I did that. I went to that site, can I run this?
Just turns a big out, no came up on me.
Yeah, really. No, it's I can run it, but if I want to run it, I can think, well, I need to get a better video card.
Ugh, I hope I don't have to.
Yeah.
And then back to Borderlands. Why aren't there any Borderlands clones? Have you guys thought about this?
Interesting.
It's a unique idea, and it was super fun, really popular, and then no one else is bothered enough to even try.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Stab at it. I mean, it's a pretty unique idea. Usually when something gets popular, like music games were popular, and there was a whole bunch of those, and then dancing games, and exercise games now. There's like an avalanche of those. And like Borderlands came out. It's really popular. Everyone talks about it, loves it. And we're all just waiting for number two instead of getting like a torchlight or something out of it. You know?
Yeah, weird.
That's a really good point. Hmm. Never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe after two.
Maybe.
I don't know why not after one, but maybe after two.
Dead Island had aspects of it, but
Was there randomly generated items?
No.
Then you're missing out on the whole point, I think.
Did have skill trees and it was four-player co-op, but yeah.
Doing randomly generated items well is hard, I think. I think it's so easy to unbalance the game. I have no idea what kind of black magic goes into making that fun and not overpowered and not unbalanced. That I think that takes some real wizardry.
Yeah, there's some kind of insane math going on there that I do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I could try. I don't know. I gotta say that the math kind of failed me towards the end of Borderlands. So I don't know. I don't think Gearbox even has it figured out yet.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Silence. Is that the only question?
Oh yeah, that's the end of them.
Cool.
I have a couple.
A lot of
questions. First off, from Man of Steel 88 on Twitter. He says, no backwards compatibility on the PS4. What's up with that?
Is that announced, or is it a rumor?
It's a rumor.
Yeah. Okay. And if that's the case, kind of a dick move. Not going to like that. My backwards compatibility.
That's kind of Sony's MO now. I don't know. They can. No. They pulled it out of the PS3, the Vita. It's got nothing to do with the PSP, hardly at all. Oh, in Japan, you can... there's some way to download your PSP games, but they didn't bring it to America because they didn't think there was enough demand for it, which is some kind of bullshit excuse. I don't know. They can suck a dick. They said the same thing about PS2 compatibility on PS3, like there wasn't a demand for it. The PS2 is the most popular fucking system in the last generation. You don't think people want to play that game on your system?
Yeah.
Still, how...
What's the logic?
How long is it really necessary, though? You need to
take a Nintendo approach. You do the previous generation. That's it. It's easy.
It's not technically easy.
The DS played the Game Boy. The 3DS plays DS. If you How hard would it be to even just hide a PS2 inside a PS3?
It's costly.
How much could a PS2 cost?
Even if it adds like several dollars to the cost of manufacturing the console, that's a lot. In terms of when you're talking at scale.
But haven't people jailbroke their PS3 or whatever and figured out a way to play PS2 games on it? For instance, like people hack their Wiis and they can play DVDs.
Yeah, probably.
So it's possible. And the fact that they had backwards-compatible PS3s at one point means that it's possible, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure what they did is they took out the hardware to allow that at some point. I don't think it was ever software emulation on the PS3, unlike the 360.
Regardless if it adds some cost or whatever, it's a way to transition people into your new system. It's
exactly.
Like it's an entryway.
So you need that. You need that for the first, I don't know, several months, maybe a year of the console's life. After that, you start having a good stable of games on the new console, and it's not nearly as important anymore.
I guess that's true, but it's still like...
So the business guys look at that and say, man, do we really want to spend this much money for smart people to, you know, do emulation, or do we want to spend that much on putting in the hardware only to take it out later when we cost reduce because we want to save money on making the system and then, you know, breed bad will with our audience.
Yeah.
They start asking those questions and I don't know, there's not necessarily a right and wrong answer if you look at the financial side too.
Yeah, that's the thing we don't think about a lot is the financial side, but even at the same time, I like backwards compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to a point to where, you know, you get three or four generations of consoles, you run out of room.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a cabinet, plastic cabinet thing I bought at Walmart, but it houses my Super Nintendo, my Nintendo, my Sega, my Dreamcast. Oh, God, I've got, I think, a 32X in there. I mean, just, but, like, I have to have a piece of furniture to keep all my systems, and if the PS4 doesn't play PS3 games, I have to get another one to house the thing I don't play as much anymore. So I don't know.
Oh, but it's okay because they'll release, you know, digital versions of those.
That's
games.
True.
You can rebuy them,
but they can suck my asshole because I'm looking at all the games like Silent Hill. I'm looking at my copy in Bloody Roar. I'm looking at my copy. Fuck them. And I still have my PS2. I'll do that. I'm not rebuying games. I mean, the only games I really rebuy nowadays are old PC games because it's fucking impossible to get, like Planescape Torment, we were talking about that earlier, to get that playing from the disc that I still have from when I bought it when it was new.
Yeah.
I can't just put that in my computer and goes, ah, yes, this. So good old games offers me a service, lets me play it in a form I can use. So.
Well, and by the way, like the PS3 plays PS1 games.
Yes, it does.
Which is almost like a huge middle finger to the PS2. Like, we're not going to play PS2, but PS1, we will. What? I don't know. We don't have to keep talking about it, but it's very frustrating for me.
Mm-hmm.
Understandable.
It's one cool thing about the Wii. You can say what you want about the Wii, but it plays Wii games. It plays all GameCube games. Or at least up until recently. There's some models they release now that don't have GameCube ports and they don't play GameCube games anymore.
Oh, man.
It's the, I believe, Super Mario Brothers bundle. It doesn't have GameCube compatibility. But anyway, that's only within this like last year.
Mm-hmm.
But and then you could, through the Virtual Console, get NES, Super NES, and 64. So it's like almost like that whole... You know, Nintendo's whole back catalog, well, almost, available in one system, which is pretty cool. But I think with the digital things like that, if they could transition to the next system, that'd be really nice. I don't think it will, but it'd be really cool if the next Nintendo system, I could transfer all my digital stuff over, the next PS3, the next Xbox, all my arcade games will come over with me.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
I got one question left. This is from Craid on Twitter. Big ups to Craid. Good guy.
Yo.
Any thoughts on Dragon's Dogma? Is it on your radar? Will you buy it? And so this is important. So.
I don't know much about it. You guys seem hyped about it, though.
It looked cool. Yeah. I'm pretty interested in it.
I like the idea of having a someone who, like a buddy who follows you around, and you can level them up, but then they can sort of hang out in the game, world of the game, and be used by other people, and they can gain experience that way and actually get items they can bring you. I really like the idea of how you fight some of the creatures, since, like, I mean, I think we've all seen the griffin raping, for lack of a better term. I mean, it was on fire and still flying. That's fucked. But yeah, so you can if you're fighting a big tall thing. I saw a demo where a guy, they're fighting some kind of rock golem. The guy got up on a cliff and like jumped down on top of it to attack its weak point, and that's really cool to me, and not just like hitting at its kneecap to damage it overall, mm-hmm. as we've done for years in mini games. I don't know much about the story of it. I don't know much about the presentation. You know, I don't know how much voice acting is going to be and if that's going to be any good. But I'm going to rent it at the very least. I'm very interested in it. And, yeah, I think it'll be fun. If nothing else, I will really, in an inhumane manner, kill a griffin. So
yeah, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Watch that be a cutscene.
Son of a bitch, let's say that.
Yeah.
What about y'all? Any interest in it? I know, any new...
I remember watching the last I saw of it was when that flood of trailers came out of, what was it, E3?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So that was the last I've actually seen of it. I tend not to keep up on, I don't know, I don't keep up on a lot of games, but those trailers with the griffin and all that looked pretty fun. Looked like it had a lot of potential.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I hate to be the negative one, and I really haven't looked at much, but I look at it, and it's got that same... generic glaze that a lot of fantasy games have, where you know, Dark Souls definitely carved its own little notch, and I guess Skyrim did too, but a lot of these fantasy games that come out, they all kind of look like they might use the same engine, or they're all inspired by the same generic looking people.
Two Worlds but, 2 kind of,
yeah,
thing.
There's not a lot of character, not a lot of it looks like guys are just redrawing stuff they've already seen. It's kind of sad, but
yeah, I have to agree with you on that. The world of the game itself does not look visually very interesting.
The characters the creatures, the monsters that stood out. Those look like the star of the show.
And that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping the combat's engaging. I hope there's, you know, decent voice acting and maybe a good story to go with it. And I can kind of forgive a visually boring world if the people and the creatures in it are interesting.
That's fair.
Heck, even if the people are less interesting, if the creatures make up for it, I will tolerate that as well.
Yeah. Samesy.
All right. Questions complete. Podcast complete.
Hold on. It's not complete yet.
Oh, geez. How did I forget?
I know.
By the way, before you do that, I feel bad for old Dirty Bastard. We don't even reminisce about him anymore.
I know everything about him now.
You do.
You know, I heard he did some mocap work for Dragon's Dogma, but I wasn't sure. I didn't check my facts on that. He's a special boss that if you collect all the gold teeth in stage 3, you might fight him. But yeah, I don't know much other than that. Anyway.
They had a similar level plan for the Schindler's List stealth game.
Yeah.
didn't work out.
Yeah. Collect all the arm badges. Yeah.
I was thinking the gold teeth because they did that, but...
Yeah.
All right, so your Carol Burnett fun fact for the day. Carol Burnett popularized strawberry jam in America.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
No, she did, really.
Strawberry jam has just always been a thing.
No, it was always grape jelly, grape jam.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think that one makes up for any of the lackluster ones that may have happened before. Like the names of her kids. Sorry, I didn't care too much about the names of her kids. But that makes up for it greatly.
Well, I'm sure Carol Burnett cares about the name of her kids, so you can fuck yourself.
That's true.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about... I'm planning my attack next week. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to go look some of these up and call you out on your bullshit.
Well, I don't... Okay. If you feel like you need to, then though... It's true. Why would I make up shit about Carol Burnett? What would that do for me?
You make up stuff about all kinds of stuff all the time.
That's the thing. It's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. It's like, you know, you talk enough bullshit, people aren't going to believe you when you say true facts.
I'm not familiar with that story, so I don't know what that means. I'm just sorry y'all can't appreciate the things I have to say.
I appreciate it. And I love me some strawberry jam, so if that's true, I'm eternally grateful to Ms. Burnett. Mrs. Yes. Burnett.
Brought it from France. Good stuff.
Huh.
You're a strange dude. Obsessed Thanks. With this one woman. Yeah. All right. You're welcome for that fact, everybody. You should call it the fun fact of the week. You know, we don't do a podcast every day.
That is true. I do in my head, but that's okay. It's not a fun fact of the week. I like that.
I bet I sound like an asshole on your internal podcast.
No, you're mostly crying.
This is a weird podcast.
It's okay. You can't even talk, Newt.
Oh, man.
All right. See you, everybody. Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
See you.